This is the Accounting Influencers Podcast
with Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.
And we welcome our newest commercial partner to the Accounting Influencers Podcast. It's Practice Ignition. You like these guys, Martin, don't you? What do you like about them?
I like what accounting firms tell me, Robert. And one of the things that I ask accounting firms is, why add this to your app stack? Another thing to use, another piece of technology. So why? And they say, because when it comes to winning new work, they can send a proposal immediately after a meeting with a prospect, and it includes their terms and conditions, their sales brochure, place to enter payment, info and sign. It just shortens their sales cycle.
Well, I like the onboarding thing. There's no more chasing payments, because they get the clients to put in the payment details, they digitally sign it, they get it billed automatically, and it's on the schedule of the accounting practitioners. That just makes so much sense.
Yet no more double or triple checking that invoice has been paid in the accounting software. It's done automatically. And when you send a proposal or you get paid, PI crunches the numbers and spits out just about every metric you could ask for. So there's no more spreadsheets or wondering how you're doing.
Yeah, it's the best in class for what they do. And if people want to go to practiceignition.com, use this special code AIR21, A-I-R-21. You'll get 25% off all plans for your first 6 months. So just go to the website and get your 14-day trial and you're up and running. Welcome to our special guest interview today, which is with the legend that is Ron Saharian. Good day, Ron.
Good day, Rob. Good to see, hear your voice.
How does legend feel?
I'm used to it by now. Just kidding.
Well, great to have you with us, Ron. For people that don't know you, tell us a bit about what you do in 60 seconds.
Yeah, so Ron Saharian, co-founder of Profit First Professionals, and we certify accounting, bookkeeping, and coaching firms in the Profit First methodology. And so accounting firms come to us because of a couple reasons. One, they want to make more money and have a better financial foundation themselves. Two, they really want to help their customers with an advisory service, an additional line of revenue, if you will. Three, they want to stand out from the competition. And having that certification of a Profit First, you know, associates with the book. The book has sold over 1 million copies. It's a global phenomenon, and it helps our members stand out from the competition.
Nicely done. And bang on 60 seconds, too.
Nice.
Ron, you've got a global footprint with your organization. Give us a sense of how the accounting bookkeeping profession is doing internationally, if you could.
My experience talking with the firms globally is everybody's tired. Everybody's exhausted. Everybody is beat up. You know, that sucks for all of them. It also shows us that they haven't built healthy companies, healthy systems and processes to deal with the additional work that all the governments gave everybody. So there's actually a great opportunity to really take a step back, analyze in your business what systems and processes can be fine-tuned.
When we talk to accountants who tell us that they're super busy, one of the things it comes down to is they've got too many of the wrong kind of clients doing the wrong kind of work at the wrong margins. And that's taken aside all the regulation and the tax laws and everything else that they've got to keep on top of. So they are overwhelmed, aren't they?
They are overwhelmed. And you hit the nail right on the head again. They're working with the wrong customers with low margins, you know, providing a lot of work for them. And what we're seeing, we're actually seeing this in, across all of the globe, is that strategic firms are slicing, cutting those customers that they don't want to deal with. And it's not necessarily all about the revenue, letting go of the low revenue people. It's letting go of the jerks. It's letting go of the pain in the butts, if you will, and replacing them, as well as letting go of some of the lower level ones, but upgrading them with people that actually are companies that actually value what the accountant and the bookkeepers are actually saying and doing.
That makes good sense. And whilst some of that is of their own making, if they've got the wrong kind of clients, they can't necessarily legislate for the busy tax seasons and the regulation. But I know you cringe when you hear accountants and bookkeepers working 80 hours a week, because that is crazy.
You know what? It's absolutely insane. And I see some of them using that as a badge of honor. You know, oh, I got to prepare and freeze all my meals for the next 3 months. My kids aren't going to see us. Woe is me. But oh, man, I love it. What? Are you kidding me? That means you're tired. That means you're exhausted. That means you have a much higher probability of making mistakes. I don't want my surgeon, my lawyer saying, oh man, this is the busy season. I've been working 70 hours a week on this stuff. No, I want my accounting firm to be fresh. I want that person to be on spot. I want them to be ready to rock and roll, and it's game time, not dragging ass.
And I wonder if the calendar's changing. I take the example of the school system here in the UK. You're over there in the US, but we've typically had a 3-semester year with a long summer school holiday. And now they're trying to change it where there's shorter holidays, but more of them. We have this tax season and these busy periods in the accounting and bookkeeping year, and it seems like they get longer and longer, and just total months and periods get written off. Is the calendar fit for purpose for the profession, Ron?
Yeah, if they implement the right systems and processes and have the right staff and are able to really manage the workload. If we look at an accounting firm as a manufacturing firm, there's, you know, enough bandwidth there, or I should say there's limited bandwidth. What are you going to do with that limited bandwidth? You know, you got to be efficient and effective. But if that manufacturing line is screwed up and things are broken, things are falling, it's just going to be a nightmare. And there's no calendar that's going to be, you know, right for that type of firm.
You've used the word cleanup before, Ron, in our conversation. What does that mean to you? Tell the listeners about that.
I don't like the word cleanup. Right? I mean, every time an accountant or bookkeeper talks with a customer and says, we have to clean up your books. When we use the word cleanup, it means a mess. It means something bad happened. You know, when your parents or when you were a kid, Rob, they're like, clean up your room, clean this up, clean that up. You're like, ugh. But what we're actually doing from a behavioral standpoint, we're actually punishing the prospect. Right? We don't know necessarily. You better find out who is actually doing the books. So you might be having a great conversation and be like, man, you know, your books really need a cleanup. You could be talking to the person that just worked their ass off trying to get those books the best they could be. It's punishing to hear the word cleanup being said by accountants. I use the word renovation. Rob, your books are okay. They got you to where you are now. But by working with me and my firm, we're going to have to renovate. We're going to have to take a look and get you right-sized where you are now, but also position the architecture of your accounting landscape to address the growth that we're going to achieve together.
What kind of shape do you feel the accounting profession are in generally, Ron, to serve the clients in these challenging times? We're emerging out of COVID right now. It's increased complexity, but it's also opened up a lot of doors. And the accountants, I suppose, in your eyes, need to step up and take on that advisory mantle to truly serve their clients.
Right. And there's different types of advisory. Are we advising on the numbers? Are we doing business advisory? And are we advising on what? Okay. So one of the things is to pick something that you're going to advise on and learn it, but more importantly, walk the talk, right? And so one of the things is I don't know a lot about Bitcoin, right? But the way I plan to learn is just to dip my toe in it. And just then, that way, I'll start learning more and start learning more. Now, for the accounting firm, if you want to offer advisory services, you better implement whatever that service is in your own business. You better get good at it, and you better be walking the talk. Otherwise, it's disingenuous. I mean, imagine saying, hey, you need to do the XYZ PDQ, and then your customer says, well, Rob, are you doing that in your accounting firm? And you say no.
And you're keen on an ownership mentality in people that you work with, aren't you, Ron?
I'm often asked, Ron, your staff loves what they do. They seem as though they have the ownership mentality. And I say, yeah, because we give them a reason to get up in the morning other than a paycheck, right? They have autonomy. They are part of a mission, which is to eradicate entrepreneurial poverty. They're not just coming to work for a paycheck. They're coming to work to serve, to help the accounting firms be better firms, to help the accounting firms help their customers be better customers, to help. Because if accounting firms can help their business owners pay themselves first, have money for the tax man, and profit, even if that profit is 3.5%, those businesses can hire. When businesses can hire, people have jobs. When people have jobs, it relieves a lot of stress from the home life. So give your folks another reason to get up in the morning for other than a paycheck.
That is a stark message to the leaders of accounting firms who, let's face it, are looking at a talent shortage. The labor pool is getting smaller. Firms talk about recruitment and retention as being an obstacle to growth. They're not bringing in the right people. If they can create that ownership mentality in their own accountants and bookkeepers working for them, that would serve them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Take a look at what your retention rate, take a look at what your turnover is of your staff and work on that. Why? Really investigate it. Don't be so high in the ivory tower looking down at the staff and being like, they're lucky they have a job. No, I'm lucky that I have great employees that want to achieve. My job is to keep them.
the word profitable would mean a lot of things to a lot of different people, depending on their role, whether they're a business or an accountant bookkeeper serving a business. Let's just play with that word for a moment. What does it mean to you and why is it important?
So profit is very important. And it's important because with profit, you're ensuring that you're paying yourself. With profit, you have money to pay Uncle Sam or the tax GST VAT. With profit, you can be philanthropic. With profit, you can be charitable. With profit, you can have a purpose and accomplish that purpose. So profit isn't a dirty word. Profit isn't bad. There's bad people out there that happen to make profit with bad decisions, okay? But think about it. If you're not profitable, how can you achieve what you want to achieve with your business? If you're not profitable, how can you teach your customers to be profitable?
If we look at the business owners of today, they're entrepreneurs. They're probably getting younger all the time. They don't want to be spoken to by a 50, 60-year-old accountant talking old school. You've got to think entrepreneurially like them.
Absolutely. My experience is people don't want to work with my father's accountant. You know, that was dry. That was just hanging out, just, you know, doing the abacus thing. No, entrepreneurs are looking for guidance and help. Okay. They're looking for the firm that is strategically going to help them grow their company and also take care of the compliance. But it's asked backwards. You know, firms have been really touting the compliance. And that's great. And there's always going to be that need. But we're coming into a world where there's going to be more and more entrepreneurs. They're going to be looking for entrepreneurial accounting firms that embrace technology, have great feedback, want to sit at the table, want to be friends and succeed together.
When you look at the way business is changing, we need to be adapting as a profession. Because the volatility, the uncertainty, the complexity, the ambiguity, that VUCA word, we've talked about accountants needing to step up. But business owners as well, they've got to adapt to the new world. And how important is adaptability and agility in your dictionary, Ron?
Huge, because you have to be agile, right? Even in software development, you know, agile is the way versus waterfall. And so we want to be able to, like I mentioned, be agile, because if an accounting firm or a business, if any business, Rob, the owner, hey, we're grooving, things are going good, awesome, that's comfortable. Next minute, you know, when you're grooving, you look up, you're in a rut. So don't be comfortable. Have that little edge to you. Be looking out for what the competition is going to do, because there's a lot of innovative accounting firm owners out there that are looking to get your customers. They're looking to unseat the incumbent by providing a better experience.
There's a saying out there that a country or an electorate gets the government that it deserves. And in some ways, a business owner gets the accountant that they deserve. What questions would you advise a company to ask their potential accountant or bookkeeper before they start doing business with them? Because you're a business, you've got an accountant yourself, so you're on the other side of the fence too.
Yeah, so one of the things is, you know, I would look for expertise. What are they an expert in? Are they an expert in tax planning? Are they niche specialization? Do they work with membership organizations? Are they niche specialized? Okay. But also, what are they doing in their business that they can share with me that's going to improve my business, right? What is the cash flow methodology that you're running in your business, Mr. Accountant, that lets you live that lifestyle, whether that's right or wrong? I want to know what you're doing in your business to live that lifestyle. And if you don't have a good answer for that, or you can't provide me with steps or concrete systems or processes that are going to help me achieve, I'm moving on.
You're basically asking the accountant, are you taking your own medicine? Are you walking the walk, right?
Yep. Unfortunately, a lot aren't. And that's a problem. That's why they have problem advising, because they can't advise themselves, unfortunately.
We ask our guests occasionally on the show, particularly the ones that are disruptive and controversial like you, Ron, and outspoken, if they've got any beefs, you know, what upsets them, what they want to have a rant about. Like if I got you on customized workflow or things like that. Do you want to start with that? But rant on.
This is going to rock a lot of people's world, what I'm going to say, Rob. A lot of people aren't going to be happy with this, and I get it, but you know what? That's fine. So have you ever bought anything customized? You know, cabinets, doors, windows, shirts, right? You guys love your customized suits over there, okay? It's expensive. Anything you buy is expensive, except for accounting and bookkeeping services. We allow people to come into our office off the street and tell us what they want versus us telling them, hey, this is how we work with our customers. This is in the best interest of working with our customers. So when you have somebody mixing and matching, and say you're working with 50 customers, okay, even if the average annual value is 20,000, just say, and that's nice if you can get that. That's a nice $1 million firm. Now, the problem with super customization is you got 50 different bosses. How do you streamline? How do you get people up to staff? How do you prioritize? So, you know, one of the things that I really, really like to do is put guardrails in place and priority customers based upon what they're working, right? What they're paying. Look at what they're paying as appreciation points. And so one of the things is too much customization, it's not going to allow you to streamline. It's going to allow you to just kind of, I don't know, sometimes I feel like when I'm talking to accounting firm's owner, like, do you feel like your workflow is all over the place? They say, yes, I want to figure out how I can wrap my arms around all this, Ron. I don't know how this happened over the years. I've got so many different services that I don't even want to offer anymore, but I feel like I have to. You don't have to. It's your business. You can design it the way you want.
But what would you say to accountants that are not in that position of influence? They don't necessarily have a voice in the firm. They're lower down the food chain. They work for a bigger firm. They can't affect change that you're talking about in an agile way as they would like to. What do they?
They're not going to. They're not going to. It's like putting lipstick on the pig for them, right? So what happens with that is, you know, you piss off the pig and you're frustrated. So if you're in one of these large organizations, it's going to be extremely different to get any sort of change going. You're going to have to be a partner. Then you have to be a managing director. Then you're going to have to convince 10 to 15, 20 other partners that this is the right way. It's like trying to get an aircraft carrier to do a figure eight. I'm sorry, you could either look to work at a smaller firm or start your own if you really want to affect change.
We love you straight talking, Ron. If accountants listening want to have a chat to you and talk more about Profit First, what's a good way for them to reach you?
Yeah, the best way to reach me would be my email. It's ronS@ProfitFirstProfessionals.com. Let me know what your thoughts are. I'd love to have a conversation, learn more about your firm and share what we have going on over there. And also, if you disagree with what I said.
And what kind of challenges or red flags or pain points might an accounting firm be having that they would say, yeah, we need to call this Ron guy?
Well, a couple of things. One, if the accounting firm owner is paying their staff more than they're paying themselves. Two, if they don't have profit, if they don't have an understanding of their cash flow, the ebbs and flows of cash flow. Right. If they want to offer an advisory services, but they're not sure if they want to be part of a community and they want to, you know, live a different, better lifestyle themselves.
And we go out to 140 countries on this podcast. Presumably you're internationally in your reach, aren't you, Ron?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have representation of certified Profit First firms in well over 30 countries. We have Profit First Canada, Profit First Germany, Profit First Netherlands, Profit First Australia. Coming soon, Rob, coming soon. It's going to be Profit First UK 2022. It's in the works. It's in the works.
We've just hit listeners in Chechnya and Dubai, Ron, with our show. So you've got to be global, haven't you?
Yep. We have firms in Slovenia, Russia, India. We just opened up Profit First India, Israel, Panama, you name it, because what we do is not accounting or bookkeeping. What we do is teach a cash flow system. How you do accounting remains the same.
Give us a tip that's really helped you get to where you are. I know how vigorous you are with your personal and professional development and how you stay current and how you check people out and do the reading. What drives you in terms of that advice?
So the number one rule that I live by, a core value of mine, is doing what I say I'm going to be doing by when I say I'm going to do it, and I do it 3% better than expectations. If you live that lifestyle, if you do what you say you're going to do by when you say you're going to do it and exceed expectations, I don't care if you're an employee, an owner, anything, any job, anywhere, you will rise to the top and you will be a star.
Finally, Ron, get your crystal ball out. You've been doing this a long time, but what do you see coming up for accountants and bookkeepers internationally over the next few years?
Opportunity. Like, there's a lot of great, and I think that because of the pandemic, a lot of business owners really started to appreciate their accounting, their bookkeeping partner. And that's what I would like to see, is more of the partnership, you know, collaboration. It's there. Those firms that have, you know, really risen to the top by speaking to their customers, by working with their customers, by really, really holding their hand through this, they're realizing that, okay, this guy gets me. They appreciate me. I need more of them. And so I think that we're going to see more and more accounting firms being more selective than we ever have in the past before. I also think that the rates are going to be going up, and they should be going up because of the value that they're providing and the success that they're helping their customers with. And that only can be done through selective of companies, systemization, prioritization, and really understanding what you want to be known for. What kind of accounting firm do you want to be?
That's really good. And we'll get you on value pricing one time, Ron, because I know that's a topic that's passionate for you. And when you talk about opportunity for accountants, a lot of that opportunity comes from their competitors that have not served their clients very well. What do you feel some firms have got wrong throughout the pandemic that perhaps might provide an opportunity to their rivals?
Yeah, so some things that have gone wrong have been overreaction, okay? Panicking, I guess. Providing advice that necessarily was contrary to what they should have been doing, okay? Some advice could have been, you know, at the detriment, thinking that it was going to be, you got to lay off your staff. You got to cut your staff. Right? Well, that's not necessarily the best move, because if that was your first reaction, how do you think those employees are going to look at you, right? Okay. How did you treat your employees during this? Were you supportive? Were you caring? Did you have empathy for some of the challenges and the issues? Because there was a lot of bad shit going on out there, right? How did you treat your employees during this?
And it's interesting you talk about empathy. Just in closing, accountants have come to be more than just financial advisors, because they're counselors, therapists, psychiatrists, friends, shoulder to cry on in these tough times for their clients.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot. And here's the thing. It's heavy, right? And so, you know, accountants need to release some of that burden, because mentally, you know, that's a lot of weight on their shoulders. So I'm hoping that if, you know, owners or firms are listening to me and they need help, go get it, because you got to unpack that stuff. It's a lot. Over 2 years hearing about all these businesses failing and deaths and everything, that's a lot. If you need help, get the help you need so you can serve your customers and your staff better and your family.
Ron Taharan, that's been a blast. Thanks so much for your time and your passion today. It's been great.
Awesome. You're the legend, Rob. Thank you.
This is the Accounting Influencers Podcast
with Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.